D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined as we are every Wednesday at noon by our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. So Hutton, your partner in crime the other day, Chad Withrow, had a take about how the Titans framed their decision to cancel their private workout with Shedeur Sanders. And for those of you who missed it, Jim Wyatt tweeted it out and at the end said, quote, "The Titans have seen 4 years of game film, scouted multiple games, and have now attended a pro day they described as very impressive." Do you share Chad's, what's the word I'm looking for, consternation, perhaps, regarding the way that this has been framed?
I love the Vinken vocabulary, by the way.
I also like alliteration, Chad's consternation.
Good to be with you guys. Look, Chad's not wrong here. Also, this is the Titans' way of saying, don't worry about the private workout. We didn't even bring our head coach to the pro day. If you are an NFL franchise and you're about to draft your franchise quarterback, if you love a quarterback, you want to spend as much as you possibly can on the time window that you have with that player, especially a quarterback, especially with the number one pick. So with all of that in mind, they've exhausted all of their time that they can. I think they can Zoom, but all of the time that they can in person with Cam Ward. They chose not to do that with Shedeur Sanders. There's no reason to try to fake out everybody and not spend time with the player that you are allocated if you're the Tennessee Titans, turning over every stone to make sure you know the player, you get to know the player. You can watch all the film in the world. All I hear about at the combine is you want to be there on the field to see the ball come off the hand. The play caller for the offense was not at the pro day. That's really all that needed to be said.
We are going to talk about this a little bit later, but I want to get your opinion on it as well. So Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, he wrote this. I believe he also said it on his podcast, that it would take a quote-unquote historic offer to move the Titans to trade the number one overall pick and pass on Cam Ward. In your mind, what would constitute an historic offer for the number one pick?
Future first-round picks. Plural. And historic for Amy Adams Strunk to be patient if you make that trade, because other people will be making those selections if not. So that's important to note here. It, along with the trade, has to come patience from ownership. Beyond that, I don't know what historic means from this angle. Historic for Cleveland at number two to move up one spot, or historic meaning a team like Pittsburgh at 21 is just unloading the bank to move up all the way to number one. I need to know the context there. And I think they're throwing that out because we heard that last year with the historic offers that were reported that the Giants were making to try to move up and draft Drake May. If you know the quarterback is your guy, I don't think there's an offer that you want to absolutely consider. Consider what Cincinnati did. They turned down a boatload of future first-round picks for that Joe Burrow spot. I mean, they knew they had their guy. If it's true that they're still begging for a big-time offer, to me, that means the other teams are probably thinking the same thing that the Titans are. This quarterback group is good, not great.
But I don't even think it's the quarterback group. I just think it's the group
the
as
draft.
A whole. Yeah, the draft as a whole. Because
I mean, Mace, you're right. We've been talking about four players really the entire time.
Yeah,
that's it.
And you can't have a draft that can be potentially littered with potential moves at the top.
Yeah.
If the talent isn't robust at the top, and it's not.
Yeah.
So when you look at this, and I think this is where I'm trying to figure this out. And because if Titan fans or anyone else out there believe that Cam Ward isn't worthy of the number one pick, because he wouldn't have been worthy of a top five pick or a top three pick last year or the year before that because of the quarterbacks and some of the other guys outside of it. What makes you think the guys behind him would have been even higher? I beg to argue that there would only be one person in the top possibly five, and that's Hunter. Anybody else, and that's the stretch in the last 2 years, but anybody else, I don't think you're talking about them as a potential number one pick. So if that's the case, I don't get the don't draft Cam, move out, because even if you were trying to move out, everybody else knows that this draft isn't robust, so why do I need to move up?
Well, it basically it comes down to there's the draft and there's the quarterback draft.
Yeah.
And some teams are extra desperate. Look, the player I would want is Travis Hunter, personally, in this draft. It's not a great quarterback class. You mentioned the players in general. Mm-hmm. J.C. Latham would be the number one tackle again in this draft. Like that, take that into consideration. Like there's that topic too. That we could see upwards of 10 pass rushers. I'm counting defensive tackle in this 10 plus in the first round. This is a defensive first round coming up. That from the quarterback perspective, are you going to spin the haul, or are we going to see like the Kenny Pickett year where Pickett went 20th to Pittsburgh and that was the only first round quarterback we saw? I Mace, it's peculiar because the coverage of the draft is very cyclical. It starts in November or so, and that's where everybody was talking about how this is a terrible quarterback class. And now all of a sudden, Mel Kiper's hyping up Shedeur Sanders as his top player. We've got Cam Ward, who's unequivocally worthy of a number one pick. I mean, it's very back to promoting the show that is the NFL draft for the National Football League. And we've done this, as a collective media and fan base, with four players being discussed this year. That's crazy to me. Yeah, it's Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Cam Ward, and Shedeur Sanders. And, that's really it. You don't hear much debate about anything else. Even the Tech McMillan comment about how he doesn't even like football or like watching football on TV.
That was crazy.
That went under the radar in this draft coverage. It's crazy. And it's not even being dominated by Shedeur Sanders. It's been dominated really by Cleveland and New York holding those two of the top three picks behind the Titans. The Titans aren't even getting much discussion from what I've watched, because everyone knows they're going Cam Ward in all these mocks. I think that's a foregone conclusion, because they're not going to get a deal that's just going to blow their socks off. And if you need the quarterback, you don't wait on the quarterback. You take the quarterback. I understand that line of thinking. But if you knew in December that this was not the year for the quarterback group, and it was reported, I believe, that the Titans weren't really high on this quarterback class. Mm-hmm. Well, as they started to get around Cam Ward, it was around the combine, right before free agency, that they really, they really got a hold of the path they wanted to go, which seems to be the rookie path. There's just no way that this regime can't start developing a quarterback right now, because they were supposed to start that last year with Will Levis.
Well, with that being said, and you're right, they need to draft a guy that they can develop and make their franchise quarterback. But when you say that, the first thing people say is, well, they don't have a team, strong enough to develop a young quarterback at this time. Well, yeah. I would tend to say, or they're not doing anything to help the young quarterback out. Well, I would beg to differ, because to me, they are. They went out and got Moore. They went out and got Zeitler. You're talking about revamping or moving around an offensive line to try to make it a place for the new quarterback can sit in the pocket and deliver the football and play quarterback the way it needs to be played. So when people say, well, they're not doing anything, yes, they are. They're beefing up the one thing they need to beef up in order for the quarterback to have some sort of success in development, and that's the offensive line.
I totally agree. They're going to be very young at wide receiver, it looks like. Their pick in the second round is going to be a valuable pick to move back on if they want to. They can gain more picks and more draft capital that way. I still think there's an opportunity there for teams to want to move up and chase runs on players on day two. They can still take the quarterback at number one and end up with, there's a group of about, 50 or so players right in the heart of the middle of the first round to the third, start of the third, where everyone's kind of graded right there at the same number or same level. That's good for the Titans. You can move back and still get the same type of value on your board. And this team has a ton of holes. They need more picks than what they have. That's the pick that I would move because they don't have a third rounder. It is a long wait from their second round pick to their fourth round pick.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And Hutton, you read my mind because I was going to ask you the percentage chance that they end up with either a third round pick or an extra second. And that is a thought that I really didn't comprehend. But when you're at the top of the second round, right, and everybody takes a break after that first night, and everybody recalibrates and looks around who's left, that you're right. That might be the pick where they are able to get what they're looking for, and that's more picks.
And that's where we could see the next stage of quarterback, because you've got ahead of the Titans, because it's a snake deal. They've got Cleveland and New York. Kuiper did a 2-round mock, and he's got quarterbacks going there at 33 and 34. But take that for what it's worth. Point being, if one of those teams doesn't go quarterback, you could potentially have the Titans that want to do that. I don't see them trying to move up. They need more picks. And look, it's scarce at offensive tackle. Not great at corner. Tight end is too heavy on the top, and then there's the rest. Running back is very deep. And if you get the best of the group after Jenty, maybe that's another position to look at. And wide receiver, they need a lot of spots. I'm not naming all of them right there. They need a lot of spots to fill. I think they have to make a move with that second round pick because they need the value of this draft. If the value of the draft is low at the top, imagine what it's like in the sixth and seventh rounds of this draft. Not good.
Okay, Hutt, would you, because you're right, and Willie has been talking about this, and we all have been talking about this, them having to, especially this year, get back into that third round. And the only way I believe there is a possibility of them getting back in the third round is if they give up Will, they put Will Levis in a package with one of their fifth rounders this year for a third this year, and they're giving up Will Levis a fifth this year and a fifth or sixth next year. Would you take that deal? If someone said, give me Will Levis, one of your fifths, I'll give you my third, and you give me a sixth next year.
I think it's like Jeffrey Simmons for a third round pick. Like, let's just throw that out there. Landry wasn't drawing anything. Mm-hmm. Will Levis.
But you know, once you get into the draft, how desperate teams are for what? Young quarterbacks. And Will Levis is still in that age range where you can, there could still be some development in there.
But who needs who needs Will Levis?
Hey, I can say who doesn't.
If the Titans don't need him, if the Titans are willing to trade,
it only takes one team.
That's fair, but every team passed on him 2 years ago,
including the Titans.
Yeah.
At least once.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
no, I get it.
I think the teams that are hungry for quarterbacks are moving up. Like, what does Pittsburgh do? New Orleans, real quick, New Orleans is in a real interesting spot of this draft. They picked ninth. The reports were in December and January, this is a draft that's going to have 11 to 13 players with legitimate first-round grades in some draft rooms. That's remarkable.
The Saints, by the way, are the betting favorite to land Shedeur Sanders right now.
Okay. See, I think if Shedeur Sanders makes it to number 9, I think the Saints are in a prime spot to trade back a couple of spots because they could still end up with Shedeur because there's a gap between like pick 9 and pick 14, 15 where the Falcons are where you may not see quarterback off the board and corners should go there. That's a prime spot for New Orleans. Pass rush right there. We're going to see running back potentially with Jenty if Chicago doesn't take him. There are individuals in this draft that are more valuable on the boards than Shedeur Sanders. Point being, they pick ninth. If he makes it past pick nine, Atlanta at 15 is where teams are going to target to move up. The Falcons have they have three picks that are in rounds one through five. Rounds one through six, excuse me. The top six rounds, they have three selections in this draft. They are begging to move back. And if Sanders moves past pick nine, I think that's kind of the range because they want to get ahead of Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh could move up as well to around that range. New Orleans, though, is in a prime spot to move back and still get the player that they potentially want. And if you the old saying goes, if you want the quarterback, take the quarterback. And they've got a first-time head coach in New Orleans now that would be telling and dictating that. But, again, guys, like, where is Sanders in last year's draft? He's the seventh quarterback, potentially the eighth, because it was Rattler who was the next guy off the board, and it's New Orleans who has Rattler. So, this is a peculiar spot for teams that could potentially be way overdrafting players, where the board is saying, we've got 13 legitimate first-round grades. Sanders isn't one of them. If that's true, Sanders is not one of them. Do you guys agree with that?
Okay. Because I think it's easy to say where he wouldn't have been because he wasn't in that draft. Yeah, didn't think Bo Nix would get drafted that high or Michael Penix.
It's anonymous scouts who are saying this. That's true.
So if Shedeur Sanders is in last year's draft,
yeah,
maybe a team chooses to move up to get in that top 10. Maybe they don't get Michael Penix. Maybe they don't get Bo Nix.
He could go to the Raiders.
Exactly.
The Raiders left out. But he's still the seventh quarterback.
Exactly. But that's why I say, it's hard. It's unfair to say I put him in that draft just with the quarterbacks in regards to the quarterbacks. I'm not talking about the draft in general.
I see what you're saying. I'm just stacking the talent. Like, I'm comparing the quarterbacks and where he would go slot-wise based on what scouts are saying anonymously.
Okay.
That's all. Uh-huh. Bo Nix. Going into the draft last year, I didn't think Bo Nix was a first-round pick. There's always a surprise team, like Atlanta, that drafts Michael Penix Jr.
I don't think I thought McCarthy was a first-round pick,
either.
At least in my mind.
Not as high as he went.
By the day of the draft, I think you knew he was going to get there, but still.
But six of the top 12 last year, and I think that's indicative of teams knowing what was coming this year, personally. I think that they were grading this year's crop versus waiting another year because teams, like Atlanta, saw Penix Jr., and they went ahead and made that, or after signing Cousins to that mega deal before he even took a snap. I think we're going to see some surprises. I think the surprise could be Shedeur falls. Or Jackson Dart is drafted ahead of him. Like something crazy like that.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff. We'll chat next week.
Hey, always enjoy this, guys. And for the record, I'm assuming that you guys agree that if the head coach and play caller doesn't go to the pro day, that's a sign they're not selecting him.
Pretty much so. I think that's the deal.
I would go for Travis Hunter, by the way.
To quote one of my favorite rom-coms, he's just not that into you.
Basically.
it's a head-scratcher to me. Hey, thank you, guys.
Of course. Jonathan Hutton joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. I do want to pass along a sad note. This was shared during Jonathan Hutton. Ray Shiro, who worked for the Predators front office, has died. He was 62 years old. Ray Shiro, who was an assistant GM for the Predators from 1998 through 2006, before becoming the GM of the Penguins. He was the GM of the Penguins when they won the Stanley Cup in 2009, if I recall correctly.
Correct.
Also was the GM of the New Jersey Devils, had been working currently as a senior advisor to GM Bill Guerin for the Minnesota Wild. The Wild announced 20 minutes ago that Ray Shiro has died at 62.
Oh, that is just terrible news to hear. Ray Shiro, you always remember that first group of people for the Predators, and Ray Shiro was in that group. Of course, his father, Fred Shiro, was famous for coaching Terry Crisp and the Broad Street Bullies teams, the mid-70s. So the Shiro family is like a royal family in hockey for sure. But Ray was an up-and-comer under David Poile, and I learned a lot from Ray Shiro. I'm shocked to hear this. I didn't know anything was wrong or anything like that. So that's a that hits hard right there. I can remember a lot of interviews with Ray Shiro as I was a young broadcaster, really learning the game. And he was tremendous in that role as the understudy, but also watching the game and pointing things out to a new fan base.
So the NHL has announced that Ray Shiro, former Predators assistant GM of the original franchise starting in 1998, worked for the Predators until 2006, went on to be a GM in a couple of other places. Ray Shiro has died at the age of 62. 615-737-1025. As we mentioned with Jonathan Hutton, Albert Breer says it would take a quote-unquote historic offer to move the Titans to trade the number one pick and pass on Cam Ward. What would constitute an historic offer? We will discuss that next. Willie is off to Salt Lake City. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.
Your choices are Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami, or trading with the New York Giants. Very important. You're only falling to pick three. We know that matters a lot in this draft, given the players at the top of the draft. And you are also picking up in the process a 2026 first and a 2025 second. There's no real historical examples that are exactly analogous to this. I was looking at all the top first round trades. The Vic trade came to mind more recently, the Bryce Young trade, but that was to move up from all the way from pick nine to pick one. So they picked up a bit more in the process. So you could still get definitely one of Travis Hunter, Abby Carter, and you're getting a second rounder and you're getting a future first, or do you stay put and take Cam Ward?
And that is tough because I think the Giants being a team that could very easily be picking in the top 10 next year. Theoretically they'd have a rookie quarterback starting. Well, I guess no, Russell Wilson might be the starter for at least most of the year. That is tough, but I think if I am the Titans, I have a chance to get a quarterback who I think is on a trajectory to be a top 12 quarterback in the league. I think he has that ability. I think he has that talent. He needs to button up some of the drifting in his footwork. He needs to cut down on some of the reckless habits, some of the hero ball, but he's a very loose, instinctive passer. He can be accurate, throws with natural rhythm. I think with the talent and the intangibles and the way that this Titans roster is built and the fact that we just haven't had a quarterback in so long, I'm going to stick and pick. I'm going to take Cam Ward. I'm going to pass on the trade. The Giants are desperate, but I think we're desperate in Tennessee to get the quarterback right. And I think that could be Cam Ward.
That was Dane Brugler on Mina Kimes' podcast, by the way. Mm-hmm. The beast has been unleashed. Dane Brugler's 2025 NFL draft guide, known as The Beast, was released today at The Athletic. We will dig into that, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks. So remember, I think it was last week, we played a clip from Mina Kimes' podcast where she did a similar exercise with Field Yates. Mm-hmm. So she did it again with Dane Brugler. So the choices for the Titans at number one were you can either take Cam Ward or you can accept this trade proposal from the Giants. And you wrote it down, Derek, so tell me if I have it correct. That you move down to three, you pick up a first-round pick next year and a second-round pick this year. And Dane Brugler decided to stick with Cam Ward. Now, after the explanation you just heard from Dane Brugler, Mina Kimes chimed in and said, I bet it was hard for you to pass on that potential trade offer. This was how Dane Brugler responded.
The Titans are talking about, because I'm sure the Giants are at least throwing out scenarios saying we'll give you this, this, and this. And it's something that the Titans have to talk about amongst the in their war room, amongst their brain trust, and say, okay, well, what is our avenue to a quarterback? Are we just going to forward scout to next year and say, let's hope there's a quarterback there. Will Levis is a fine player, but he has not done enough in the last 2 years to say, I'm going to be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. So without having a true avenue to a quarterback, that's what would scare me away from going away from Cam Ward. And I don't love the other quarterbacks enough in this draft to just say, well, we'll get quarterback too, whether that's Shador or Jackson Dart or whoever. It would be very tough to pass on that offer, but I'm going to take the quarterback. And I feel like, all right, we've got the most exciting quarterback in Tennessee that we, you know, since, I don't know, who, McNair? I guess Vince Young was there. But, you know, this gives us at least a future at the best or the most important position on the roster.
So that was Dame Brugler's explanation for taking Cam Ward over the proposed trade from Mina Kimes. So again, move down to three, pick up a first-round pick next year and an extra second-round pick this year. Let's start with these two questions, Derek Mason. If you were asked that same question, which one would you take? And what was your response? What is your response to Dame Brugler's reasoning for going with Cam Ward instead of taking that trade?
Man, you're looking at the trade, and because this is assuming that the Giants are moving up to take Cam Ward.
Yes. More than likely.
Yeah, more than likely. I would say no, I wouldn't take the deal for this reason, and I think Dame Brugler, Brugler,
yes. B-R-U-G-L-E-R, yeah. Dame Brugler. Brugler,
yeah. I think his reasoning, I agree with. That sentiment is felt with me, is if you have scouted him, and you say that this is our next franchise quarterback, he's going to be the guy that leads us, regardless of what else is going on. That's the guy. We are picking him. If indeed you believe that to be true, I'm with Dan. Don't hope, because you're in a position now to draft the guy that you like and you believe that can be your franchise quarterback. You're in that position right now. You may not be in that position next year. And you can't afford to say, well, we can wait until next year and see if we're in that position. One, the quarterback crop may not be as good. It may just be another one or two guys. And then you may not be in that position based on your record to draft one of those guys. And then further that, isn't the goal to retain picks rather than give picks up? Because next year, if you find yourself in a position where you got to draft a quarterback, but you're not high enough to draft maybe one of the two or three guys, what do you have to do? Give up picks to move up. And you may have to end up giving up more than what you received last year. So to me, the logic is, if you feel that Cam Ward's the guy, draft him now. I'm not trying to hope and pray. I'm not playing the stock market. Hoping and praying. No, I want something that I know right now in my mind that is tangible now. I want to see, now. I'm going to draft him. I mean, I'm not going to hope and wish that next year I'm in a position to draft that quarterback.
All right, so I will play devil's advocate here. So, again, the proposed trade from Mina Kimes that she asked Dame Brugler on her podcast, the Titans move down from 1 to 3 with the Giants, pick up a first-round pick next year, and an extra second-round pick this year. So that means that the Titans would have 34 from the Giants and 35. So we've talked a lot about, well, that 35, that's an important pick. Should they take a receiver? Should they take an edge rusher? Well, if you have that extra second-round pick, you have consecutive picks, you can take one of each. You can take an edge rusher and a receiver if you want to. You don't have to choose between one or the other. And as Dame Brugler mentions in that cut, the Giants may be just as bad next season. Now, I don't know how many wins Russell Wilson adds to their win total, but it wouldn't shock me if the Giants were picking in the top 10 again next year. So you take the risk of passing on Cam Ward, but you may get another first-round pick that's in the top 10. Plus, you get consecutive early second-round picks this year. You don't have a third-round pick. You can knock out two very important positions with those consecutive picks. So I can see why people might be tantalized by that trade. That's just me playing devil's advocate as to why I would consider making that trade if I were the Titans.
And I would come back, bird in the hand or two in the bush. Which one? I got what I got now. Now, I know what I have now. I can't hope to grab the two that are in the bush. I may get one. I may not get either. So the Titans are in a position, and, you know, it's unfortunate. It really is. because as an organization, you never want to be in a position where you don't have wiggle room, where you don't have an opportunity to reach for a pick. The Titans did enough reaching, okay? They've reached so much that they had to have an arm replacement, okay? That's how much they've been reaching.
They're not Stretch Armstrong.
Exactly. Absolutely. And they're not part of Marvel, okay, comic books.
Trust me. When I was a kid, I had Stretch Armstrongs, and, man, I tried to pull those arms as far as I could go. I snapped a couple of Stretch Armstrongs. They do not stretch that far.
Exactly. So that was the Titans. They stretched for individuals, whether it be through the draft or free agency, and they had to get an arm replacement. They can't afford to do that anymore, okay? So, again, this goes back to if the Titans believe he is that guy, he's a franchise quarterback. He doesn't need to be an elite quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. If you see him as that now with the potential of becoming more than that, or his floor is a franchise quarterback, then take him now. Take him, because you can't afford to say, well, I'm going to skip over him. I'm going to draft this guy, and I'm going to hope next year or in the second round, I'm going to find me some guys. Because they need more impact players than they need anything else. They need guys that can come in and impact immediately, because they're not in a place where, well, we can let this, you know, we can let the whole draft take a year off basically to develop. No, you've had that opportunity. It's not afforded to you anymore. So everything you do from here on out, just like me when I was in school, I messed around that whole first semester. I didn't have no wiggle room that second. They were going to kick my ass out of school. I was on academic probation. Okay, I ain't had no wiggle room. So every step that I made was calculated. It was like, I got to get this work done. I have no room for error, no margin for error. That's the Tennessee Titans right now. They have no room for error. So if they believe he's their guy, draft him.
615-737-1025. So let's pretend that Mina Kimes is asking you the same question she asked Dane Brugler in her mock draft on her podcast. You're the Titans. Your choices are, you have a binary choice. You can take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick, or you could trade with the Giants, move down to three, pick up a first round pick next year and a second round pick this year. Which one are you taking? 615-737-1025. We will get your reaction on the other side. Also, I want to tell you that 1025 The Game and Green River Whiskey have teamed up to give away tickets to see Lainey Wilson at Bridgestone Arena in the all-inclusive Eurostone Club on Thursday, October 2nd. Tune in to Chase and Big Joe tomorrow during the 9 a.m. hour for the keyword to text in for your chance to win tickets. Green River Whiskey, sit back, relax, and bourbon. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. D-Mace Fingan and Donick, 1025, 1063 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vinganbilly off to Salt Lake City, Predators and Utah Hockey Club tomorrow. The Predators' first trip to Utah. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. They offer 18 championship holes spanning over 6,800 yards with the meandering Madison Creek at its centerpiece. Get half off a $50 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Okay, so this is the question that I have for all of you at 615-737-1025, or phone and text lines, as always, are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We played a clip from Mina Kimes' podcast with Dane Brugler of The Athletic. And what Mina Kimes does, she did this with Field Yates as well of ESPN, is she goes pick by pick, and she gives her guest two choices for each pick. So with Dane Brugler, her choices were take Cam Ward or trade down to three with the Giants. You get the three pick. You get the number three pick, obviously. You get a first-round pick next year and an extra second-round pick this year. The Giants have the second-round pick right ahead of the Titans, so the Titans would have consecutive picks at the top of the second round. And I wanted to know what all of you think of that. 615-737-1025. One texter says, trade to three, and then try to trade in the eight range, and then start drafting. One texter says, Cam Ward, that trade is straight up disrespectful. Another texter says, only an idiot, in this case the Titans, would refuse that kind of trade with the Giants. The draft this year sucks, not just for quarterback, but most other positions as well. Get what you can and build up your capital for next year. Trey is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Trey, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I would do it. I would trade back, and I would try to get somebody else. Because simple fact, right, a month and a half ago, they was dogging this young man, talking about he was running for his life in the back of the end zone. He couldn't read coverages. And then 2 weeks later, they were saying that he was Tyrod Taylor. Now they're trying to comp him with the great legend Steve Air McNair from my home state. No. Trade back and get some more picks, and we'll have to figure out the quarterback situation, because I don't trust it. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks, Trey. And Andy has a text that I think leads into what point I was going to make. So if you take this hypothetical trade for Mina Kimes, again, move down to three, pick up a first next year and an extra second this year. You're punting on the quarterback position this season. Andy texts in and says, so with a better offensive line and trading to build your defense, drafting Travis Hunter, you have a better offensive line, better receivers, theoretically, I guess, if Hunter can also play receivers, better defense. Can we not make it one more year with Will Levis? And that's what probably is going to happen if you make this hypothetical trade. One texter said, curious as to why we're not looking for a veteran quarterback in free agency. Well, who's left?
Yeah.
You're not signing Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think, does Joe Flacco have a job?
Not yet.
But right. But like, do you really want that? Like, if you do this trade, you're going to see a lot more Will Levis, or you're going to see a lot of Brandon Allen. And that is an admission. That would be an admission by the Tennessee Titans that 2025 is probably going to be just as bad as 2024. Now, you hope that that puts you in a position that you're in right now, drafting at the top of the draft, and you can continue to build. We talked about the Davis Mills path a couple of weeks ago, what the Texans did, starting Davis Mills for a couple of years, two bad seasons. I think it was three, actually, but he started for two of them, if I recall correctly, which led to C.J. Stroud. And it's worked out, right, for the Houston Texans. But it doesn't always work out. So I think your point, Derek, is, trust me, there are a lot of people out there who study the game who believe that Cam Ward is not a number one overall pick type of prospect. I mentioned Dane Brugler, who was in that podcast with Mina Kimes. The Beast came out today over at The Athletic. It's a great resource. Dane Brugler has Cam Ward as his number one overall quarterback prospect, but has Cam Ward as his 13th overall prospect in the draft. So that's something that people always point out, right? We talked about it the other day. How can the Titans justify using the number one overall pick on a prospect who Dane Brugler says is the 13th best prospect in the NFL? You hear a lot of that. So, but as you said, there is also risk in passing on Cam Ward, because you don't know when you're going to have the opportunity to draft this type of quarterback again. You have to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, listen, whether he's one, first time, let me address, I think it was Andy's.
Andy texted asking about
Cam, about Shadur, I mean,
about
Travis
Will
Hunter.
Levis.
Moving back, Will Levis, you don't want to go. Yeah, you don't want to go through this whole Will Levis thing again.
Does anybody really want that?
No, nobody wants
that. Do you really want to watch Will Levis play football again? We all lived through it. It stunk. It was hard to watch. There was there was sort of like a rubbernecking type of experience. Like you're on the highway and there's a car accident and you always like to slow down, right, to see what's going on. You turn your head a little bit. That's what watching Will Levis was like last year. Mm-hmm. You're waiting for the car wreck. And do you really? I mean, and trust me, I got a kick out of some of the decisions that he made last year. You could only help but laugh. But do you really want to experience that again? Do you really want to live through the Will Levis experience again?
I don't think nobody wants to live through that again. Now, they may be forced to live through it. I don't know. I don't even think the Titans want to live through it. But here again, because you said, number one, and you're moving to number three. And everyone is just assuming, okay, just zeroing in, and this is not picking on Andy, but just zeroing in on this question, because I know there are a lot of other people that think like this. You move down to three. Who says Cleveland won't take Travis Hunter? I'm not touching Abdul Carter. The whole injury thing has taken him off my first round board. It has, at least top 10 board. It has. Now, he may turn out to be a great player, and I get that. It happens. But I am not. I'm not in a position as a franchise to be drafting guys that have medical issues. I'm not. I can't do it, and I can't afford to do it. So I'm taking him off my board. Who's to say Cleveland does it? Because they need a guy like Travis Hunter. They need a receiver. They need another corner. I know they have I think Newsom, he's still with them. Damn good corner. But they can use a Travis Hunter type player.
Yes, Greg Newsom, yeah, still Newsom. With the Browns.
So they need a Travis Hunter type of player. Who's to say the Browns won't draft him? Now you hope that Hunter would get to number three. Now he's at nine. Now he's no longer at number three. Now you sit at that spot, and if you're smart, you're not drafting Abdul Carter. No other team, I don't think another team's going to make another move with you because they're probably seeing the same thing that you are seeing, and they were only going to move up to get Travis Hunter, but Travis Hunter was second. I say all of that to say this. Listen, whether you believe Cam Ward is the 13th best prospect or the 9th best prospect or the 10th or the 8th,
would you like to know the prospects who are listed ahead of Cam Ward, according to Dane Brugler? Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Ashton Jeanty, Mason Graham, Jalen Walker, Will Campbell, Armand Membo, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Tyler Warren, Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Colston Loveland, and Tet McMillan. Those are the prospects, regardless of position.
And I would take Tet McMillan off my list. Kid don't, he has already admitted he doesn't like watching film. He doesn't like it. I'm taking him. He's moved down. Now I can move him. See, that's what I don't get either. Something like that is a red flag to me, but nobody points it out. But had that been Shador, it would have been like, oh, my goodness. I don't care what position you play. If you tell me you don't like to watch film, man, I can't. I may have to pass on you, somebody that's equal to you in talent, but loves to watch film. I need to draft that guy as opposed to you. So you move down. Cam Ward, you move up. But either way, if you still believe that he's the 9th best prospect in a prospect pool of over 200 people, and you say he's the 9th, but the best quarterback, take him. Take him. What you're trying to do, because essentially you're still saying he's a franchise quarterback. He's a franchise player. He's a good player, a very good player. You're still saying that. So if that is indeed the case, draft him. The Titans are not in a place where they can pass up good players. I don't care where they're drafting them at. They need a quarterback. He's the number one quarterback on the board. It's not like they're saying, well, he's the number one quarterback, but he's the 40th best player, or he's not a first-round talent. They're not saying that. They're not even saying he's in the bottom half of the first round.
By the way, in terms of quarterbacks, Dane Brugler has Cam Ward with a first-round grade. He's the only one with a true first-round grade. Shador Sanders, a first-to-second-round grade. Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck with second-round grades. Jalen Milroe with a second-to-third-round grade. Quinn Ewers with a third-round grade.
People are – listen, and I get why they're doing it, because it's the number one pick. If the Titans had the number two pick, this wouldn't be the talk.
Shador Sanders, by the way, quarterback two on Dane Brugler's Beast. Quarterback two, 34th ranked overall prospect.
So if he was the 34th overall prospect but the number one quarterback, yeah, we're not drafting you. But the guy is still a top 10 prospect amongst all of the other prospects out there. He's still a top 10 prospect at a position that you need, like, more than anything. Draft a guy if you have him as a franchise quarterback. Draft him. If you feel, draft him. You can't afford to pass up good players. And sometimes I think the Titans fans think this team can afford to pass up good players.
615-737-1025. Let's explore that point coming up next. 615-737-1025 will also continue to take your reaction. It's time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce we will be back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com.